Introduction to Justin Martyr's Dialogue with Trypho. Historical housekeeping item. I have to admit something up front. You guys are learning church history in the way that I first learned it. And because I divide the early church fathers into specific categories, ones I believe I first saw in Howard Vo Exploring Church History, An Excellent Bird's Eye View of Christian History, or was it Robert Walton's Charts of Church History? That obviously means it's the best way to learn it. Right? Of course. That's how it works. Whatever we learn first holds a special place in our hearts, even when we later refine it. So, let me introduce you to my one-mile-high way of seeing the early church. I break it down into four major categories based on their role and time period. The pastors, 90 to 150 AD. These were the shepherds of the early church, focused on unity, encouragement, and passing on apostolic teaching. Examples: Clement of Rome, writing to the Corinthians to restore peace in the church. Ignatius of Antioch, encouraging believers to remain faithful as he heads toward martyrdom. Polycarp, writing to the Philippians and later offering his own life as a testimony. The apologists, 150 to 200 AD. This next wave of leaders stepped up to defend Christianity against pagan critics, Roman authorities, and Jewish objections. Examples: Justin Martyr, writing his first apology to the Roman emperor and dialogue with Trypho to defend Christianity to Jews. Athenagoras of Athens, defending Christianity against accusations of atheism and immorality. The Epistle to Diognetus, explaining why Christianity is unique compared to both Judaism and paganism. The polemicists, 200 to 300 AD. These were the fighters, taking on heresies and false teachings that threatened the church from within. Examples: Irenaeus of Lyons, Against Heresies, a detailed refutation of Gnosticism. Tertullian, attacking Martianism and defending the Trinity. Hippolytus of Rome, writing refutation of all heresies to expose false teachings. The theologians, 300 to 500 AD. These were the system builders, shaping doctrine in ways that still define Christianity today. Examples: Athanasius, defending the full deity of Christ at the Council of Nicaea. Augustine, systematizing theology in Confessions and the City of God. Gregory of Nazianzus, developing Trinitarian theology in his theological orations. Now, I probably should have introduced this division before we started reading through the Church Fathers, but here we are, late, but still relevant. We've already read the Epistle to Diognetus, which is a prime example of apologetics aimed at the Greco-Roman world. But now, with Dialogue with Trypho, we shift to apologetics aimed at a different audience, the Jewish world. Justin Martyr, the philosopher who became a Christian, and no, that's not his last name. Before we dive into his writings, let's clear something up. Justin's last name wasn't Martyr. He didn't inherit it from his parents, and he wasn't listed as Justin M. in his Roman census records. The title Martyr was given to him because, spoiler alert, he was executed for his faith. Justin started out as a philosopher, not a Christian. He was obsessed with seeking truth, studying Stoicism, Pythagoreanism, Platonism, you name it. But none of them fully satisfied his longing. Then, one day, he met an old man on a beach. This mysterious stranger challenged Justin's beliefs, telling him that Greek philosophy could only take him so far, true wisdom was found in the prophets and in Christ. That encounter changed everything. Justin converted to Christianity and never looked back, but he kept wearing his philosopher's robe, because why not? For him, Christianity was the true philosophy, the fulfillment of everything he had been searching for. The works of Justin Martyr, why Dialogue with Trypho? Justin wrote three major works, and we had options for what to read. First Apology, a defense of Christianity to the emperor. Second Apology, a shorter follow-up, addressing persecution. Dialogue with Trypho, a deep, structured conversation with a Jewish scholar. We already read Diognetus, which was an apologetic work directed at a general pagan audience. So why read Dialogue with Trypho? Because this is one of the first times we get to see how Christians were engaging with Jewish thinkers in the second century. Now, was Trypho a real person? Probably not. The dialogue follows a common rhetorical style used by philosophers at the time, where one person presents challenges and the other responds. So while Trifo likely represents real Jewish arguments, Justin probably wasn't recording an actual debate. Instead, he was crafting a written defense that reflected the real conversations Christians and Jews were having at the time. Justin's fascinating view of Plato and Aristotle. Here's something unique about Justin: he didn't just admire Greek philosophy, he believed that Plato and Aristotle were basically Christians before Christianity. Yep, you heard that right. Justin held that all truth is God's truth, meaning that even pagan philosophers who got close to truth were unknowingly following the Logos, Christ. He saw Socrates and Plato as pre-Christian philosophers, guided by reason and glimpses of divine truth. Now, whether you agree with him or not, it's an incredible insight into how early Christians saw philosophy as a stepping stone to faith. Justin wanted to show that Christianity wasn't just a new religion, it was the logical next step in human thought. How Christianity was engaging with Judaism. By the time of Justin, the Christian and Jewish communities had fully separated. 100 years had passed since Paul and Peter were debating in synagogues, and now Christianity had to defend itself as the true fulfillment of Israel's story. In this dialogue, Trifo challenges Justin with big questions. If Jesus is the Messiah, why didn't he restore Israel? Why do Christians abandon the law of Moses? How can God become human? Justin takes these on, arguing that Jesus is the fulfillment of the Hebrew Scriptures, the true Messiah that Israel was waiting for. How did Justin die? So, about that martyr title, how did Justin die? According to tradition, he was arrested in Rome along with 6 other Christians and brought before the Roman prefect Rusticus. Rusticus gave them a choice: sacrifice to the Roman gods, or die. Justin refused. His response? No one in their right mind gives up piety for impiety. That sealed his fate. He and his companions were beheaded, earning him the title Justin Martyr, not because it was his last name, but because he died for his faith. Why this matters for us. As we move forward and through the Church Fathers in a year, we'll soon encounter the polemical writers, who had to defend Christianity from within, battling heresies and doctrinal corruption. But before we get there, Justin shows us how Christianity was positioning itself, not just against Rome, but in conversation with Judaism and Greek thought. So, buckle up. This isn't just a historical debate, it's a chance to see how Christianity defined itself in its early years, engaging the most important questions of its time.